What's up, everybody? We are a day late, but that's because we spent the entire weekend in Indy, but we didn't forget about you. We're back with some NFL Week 3. We're also going to talk about the weekend that we had out of town. We're going to be touching into some of our segments, If I Were President, our Wild Stories of the Week. We got some conspiracies, shower thoughts, and of course, our long-awaited beer review. Let's go.
Inside the pocket. We had a pretty fun weekend in Indy. We're going to go ahead and talk about our past week and what we did while we were up there in Indy. And after that, we'll go ahead and get into the games. But we're going to talk about like the stuff we did up there first.
Yeah. Leading up to it, though, just going to say, still hate Iowa.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that place either.
Spent the week in Iowa. Got to go back there tomorrow. Indy is a lot more fun than Iowa.
Yeah, Indy's also a lot safer than St. Louis.
Yeah, it was welcoming and friendly, and at no point did I think my life was in danger.
We were literally like in the heart of the city.
The heartland, you might say.
So that was cool. Before we went, I realized this past week that I legitimately just hate my job. I used to enjoy what I did, but now like I almost just don't even want to do it. Like, I do it because I make money, and that's how I sustain my life.
And welcome to the dying process.
Yep, and now I realize that depression that I always put off is actually real, and it's setting in, and I might not make it for the next few years, so we'll see how this goes.
So, this podcast is the last thing we got.
Yep, this is the only thing keeping it together.
One nice thing, though, speaking of bringing things together, is we redid the podcast room.
Yes, we did. We tidied it up.
We got some more room. We're reusing our original mics because apparently in the year 2019, Mac nor Windows has figured out how to make two fucking USB mics work together. So we're back to our regular ones. But we did some work and we hope it's sounding better. Let us know either on Facebook or however the fuck you talk to us how it's sounding. We're trying to get it just right, but we really don't know what the fuck we're doing. The game room is looking good. Podcast room looking good.
Mm-hmm. And I got to give you credit. I say we redid it. I didn't do shit. I was at home while you completely recleaned it, repainted it. We're getting some soundproofing put up soon. And now we have nice glowing lights all along the bottom of the floor. Really neat stuff. Glad I didn't have to do any of it.
Yeah. One thing I got to say, though, that Indy didn't really do that much better than Iowa. Hotels need to get better fucking internet.
Okay? Yes.
It's a new generation. We want to sit in our hotel rooms and not experience anything on our trip and just play Xbox the entire time we're there when we're not watching football. And shitty hotel internet makes that difficult.
And, we got to play for a while. During the day, it would be fine. But as soon as, like, all the scumbags decide to come in and hop on the internet when they get into the hotel.
We look on our phones at things and surf the web.
It just,
fuck you. We're playing NHL, bitch.
Yeah, we're being competitive assholes over here. And you guys are being lazy dickheads and getting on the internet. Go have fun. We're the ones who shouldn't be going out and having fun.
Yeah. Another thing that'll be fun, though, is NHL literally right around the corner. Nicole got to go to our first preseason game of our season tickets, although we were in Indy, so I didn't get to go. But they got a win, so that was pretty sick. She says the seats are great. We got our little commemorative cards in the mail, and looking forward to talking about NHL here soon.
Yeah, and you're going to keep the little packaging it came in and try and get it autographed, aren't you?
Yeah, it was pretty sick. I might keep it as a little, like, I'm not big on autographs, but being a season ticket holder now, no big deal.
Hard
flex. I'll be down there a lot more, and maybe it's a cool little thing that came in. And she was like, you're just going to keep the trash? I was like, I don't know, use it to get the signatures and then frame it. It looks pretty sick.
Yeah, and then he hit her.
Yeah, and then, you know, I let her touch my pee-pee a little bit and made it all better because that's how domestic violence works.
Yeah, you know, we know what she wants.
All right.
So let's talk a little bit about what happened while we were in Indy.
Yeah.
So we played Xbox most of the time. Then we'll get to the game in a little bit, but we went to the Colts game. And after that, we were going to go to Kilroy's.
And Kilroy's is fucking closed.
So that sucked because that was the one bar I wanted to go to up there.
Yeah. And then we tried to go to one called Bob's Tiki Bar.
Yeah, Bob's Tiki.
And it was really, it looked like a nightclub with a bar in the middle of it and not that many people.
Nope, no chairs, no tables. I did see that there were two stripper poles in the back in the middle of the day.
Maybe at night it would have been the time. It was not a daytime bar.
No.
We went at the wrong time.
Yeah.
But then we went down to a bar that we thought was going to be pretty appropriate because it was called Brothers. We're like, hey, we're brothers. So we went in.
So fitting.
And there were some wild characters in there. It kind of reminded me of Fast Eddie's for anybody that's in the St. Louis area. Big inside area with tons of tables. Seat yourself wherever you can. That had a big outdoor lounge area. A little bit more modern. Had like some couches and stuff that people could sit on.
Also, up in Indianapolis, not fans of killing yourself jokes.
Yeah. The waitress was...
We ordered a shot.
I thought she was going to call, like, a hotline after we placed our order.
We ordered a shot, and she, like, walked away, you know. And then she comes back and goes, we're out of this liquor. And I was like, well, fuck, I might as well just kill myself. And she just wide-eyed me and just stared at me. And I was like...
She's just like, please not on my shift. Yeah. I don't get paid enough for this.
Like, okay, we'll just pick a different shot, I guess.
Yeah. And it was a good shot.
Yeah, it was. It was a sweet tart shot?
Fun dip.
Fun dip, that's what it was. I knew it was the name of a candy.
Yeah.
And after the game, I decided to tweet it. I don't use Twitter, for those of you who know. I haven't been on it since 2016, just because I got bored of it. Well, I told Gavin to hop on his Twitter and maybe tweet at Pat McAfee, since he was at the game on the opening day, and to be like, hey, we're from St. Louis, and we're right down the street from your studio. And, like, we want to say hi or something. And Gavin's like, do it yourself, fucko. So I downloaded Twitter. I changed my little old 2016 handle. Austin picture to an updated one. My handle and my background and my bio.
And then your first tweet was to Pat.
My very first tweet was just telling Pat, hey, we're from St. Louis. We're here for the opening, the home opener.
We'd like to come check out your studio.
Be cool just to see the studio. Don't want to bother you. Just want to see the studio. And he replied to me, and he messaged me back, and he tweeted my name out. And
it was like a little kid getting a card back from Santa.
If you've ever, like, just not, like, touched your dick and came, like, you're just out of nowhere, you just uncontrollably come.
I think you got a problem if that happens to you.
Well... It did, and now I'm addicted to Twitter. Since I downloaded it, I've been on it like 40 fucking times. You can't get off Twitter
because you're like, Pat McAfee tweeted me back.
I'm already famous.
I'm a big Twitter guy.
Yeah, I'm a big Twitter guy now. I might as well have a blue check mark.
Yeah, you might as well. But, yeah, all in all, Indy wasn't too eventful. Drank, got an Uber, went to the game, had some dumb bitch arguing with her boyfriend the entire time. That kind of sucked. Good guy Gavin, though. At one point, they drop a hot dog, spill it all over the fucking old man in front of them. They're arguing the whole time, bitching about God knows what. So you know me, being in enemy territory. Everybody's giving me a little bit of shit. Most people were pretty nice, just poked little jokes.
Which is funny, because the girl who dropped the hot dog being a cunt the whole game was really the one who was giving you the most shit.
Yeah. And then I go to get something to eat, and remembering my experience at a preseason Blues game last year when I dropped my entire Sugar Fire fucking sandwich on the ground during the national anthem, I was like, you know, I do know how bad that feels. So I went, I got another hot dog, I gave it to him. I was like, hey, I know how it feels. And, you know, being the bad guy in the arena, rooting for the other team, let me just give you a little peace offering. So then they eat the hot dog and they're all fine. But then as soon as the hot dog gets eaten, they're right back to arguing.
And I don't even want to get into details about the things that they're arguing, just because the amount of anger it gave me to see them arguing about those things is just not even a topic.
So I really hope there's a newly single dude in Indy, because, dude, you shouldn't put up with that.
Yeah,
that's some crazy shit.
If you happen to hear this by some long shot, get the fuck out of that. Get her away. Holy fuck, dude. Find something new. I'll find you something new. You contact me on Twitter, since
I'm famous
now. You
move to St. Louis.
And... I'll find you a girlfriend.
All right. But other than our personal experience in Indy, watching the game, Austin, why don't we touch on that game first?
Sure.
And then we'll hit all the games.
So the Colts did beat the Falcons 27-24, and it was a dominant first half for the Colts.
It was a bad time watching that game.
It was rough for you. I started to feel bad. Yeah. I was excited, but I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, Gavin. I was just like, man, this isn't really fun at all.
No, this is just starting, because that's what we even said before the game. Like, we hope it's just a good game and not one team just shit stomps the other.
Because if it was like the Falcons blowing them out, everybody was going to fucking hate me.
Yeah.
And then if the Colts blew out the Falcons, I was just going to be like, well, this sucks.
Yeah.
And the first half did feel that way.
Yes.
But
the tide's turned.
The tide's turned. We did take a couple big injuries. Ito Smith had a terrible concussion, and Keanu Neal now has an Achilles tear, which I just got to say, the referees, if a guy has a potential career-ending injury, he should be exempt from any penalties that could stem from that point on, because he throws it. Keanu Neal makes a play in the end zone, throws his helmet, and it turns out, so then the refs throw a flag, give him an unsportsmanlike conduct. Turns out he tore his Achilles.
Yep, gonna be out for the season. The dude's writhing in pain, laying on the ground, and
career might be over.
I agree with you. I would not be throwing a flag given the circumstance.
And I don't, it's said that the Colts accepted the penalty. I'm still not sure if that's one that even comes down to can it be accepted or declined. But, I mean, I understand accepting the penalty. I mean, you're trying to win the game.
Yeah.
But that's a little fucked up.
Yeah, no. And speaking of injuries, when the running back, what's your running back? Smith, Ito Smith.
Yeah.
Watching him try and stand up after getting a concussion.
I've never seen somebody with a terrible concussion in person, and that was a disgusting, scary sight.
Yeah, when he goes to stand up, and he's trying to walk forward, and he's stumbling 10 steps to the left, and then just eat shit on the field again, and people have to go over, pick him up, and carry him off the field, where, like, he's still walking on his feet, but you can see, like, his knees buckling in together. Like
wet spaghetti noodles.
Yeah, he can't walk. That was pretty scary to see. Seeing just a dead guy laying in the end zone, which was Keanu Neal, who tore his Achilles. You had a couple of injuries that were scary looking.
Yeah.
That game.
So, and they did string together some stuff. Matt Ryan had a ridiculous interception in the red zone. Totally Matt Ryan. You mean
totally a great play by Clayton Gathers?
No.
Totally picked that ball off.
Throws it right to him. And then, but they did make some plays. Julio had a great touchdown. It's cool that you got to see T.Y. get a touchdown. Really thought they were going to start to come back. They started marching back.
You know what was scaring me is the tight ends for the Falcons. Austin Hooper drug in 2 touchdowns. Yeah. He was getting hot. I was getting worried that we weren't going to be able to stop you guys. And you came back at one point and it was 20-18. Was that when we finally scored and then you guys couldn't reach us? Because it ended 24. No, so you had 19, and we had, like, 21, because then we ended with 27.
I don't think it matters. Just tell the part of the game that you're trying to tell me about.
You guys were, like,
we were within
3
a touchdown.
Points
yeah.
of beating us, yeah. And I was getting super nervous, yeah. And I was like, we
Money
were just
Matt,
leading by
Money
so
Matt
much.
Money Matt was on fire. If we could have got within field goal range, and Money Matt would have hit that. Although it was cool to see before the game, Money Matt and Vinatieri were just going back and forth, blasting them, went all the way up to 60-yarders, and were both burying them. And so congratulations to Vinny.
Yes, hitting all 5.
All of his field goals. He has exercised the demons.
Okay, may the power of Christ compel you.
So, Saint Vinatieri is back.
I believe that the Colts will gain a lot of confidence from this win, even though T.Y. Hilton is now hurt, Marlon Mack may still be hurt, and we just lost Malik Hooker for 4 to 6 weeks.
So those are some big losses, too.
And we still won without Darius Leonard in the middle of the field, but it did open up runs for you guys. Freeman had a few good runs, so I think it just gave good confidence to the Colts to win that game going forward.
Word.
But I'm still nervous for it.
Speaking of going forward, what's the next game?
The Panthers pulled off a win over the Cardinals, and Christian McCaffrey is a stud.
Oh, yeah.
That
Definitely
dude,
like having him on my fantasy team.
That dude is redonkulous. He's like a white Saquon Barkley who's been in the league a little bit longer, and he's so shifty. And when he goes like in a dead straight line, he's one of the very few, like, running backs, I would say, in the league, going, like, dead straight. Ain't nobody going to catch him.
No,
like,
he's
you
a
could,
freight
You
train.
Could lay anyone on the line with him. If you give him the ball and say, it's you and this guy, run to the touchdown, nobody's catching up with Christian McCaffrey. And if they do, he's just going to shrug you off probably, which is surprising.
And so good also for the Panthers quarterback that had a great game. Kyle Allen goes 19-26, 261 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Yikes. For a first start for a rookie coming off with 4 passing touchdowns, that's huge.
Yeah, a lot better than the, you know, big pick Kyler Murray that only has 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and only throws for 173 yards. The Cardinals, you know, they're 2-1. They're in a better spot than my Falcons.
Yeah, right but now.
Carolina is in a worse spot being 1-2, but maybe this young quarterback put a spark under the Panthers to get him to pick it up, because doesn't look like Cam Newton's doing that anytime soon.
Yeah,
with his mysterious injury.
Sure, that nobody really knows what's going on. As we're talking about it, though, let's talk about just QB backups in general. They're on the rise right now. I mean, we got Gardner Minshew, who came in, lighting up. That dude's electric.
Yeah.
I guess you can't really call him a backup anymore with Jacoby Brissett, but he was the backup to Andrew Luck until he randomly retired.
Yeah, so
you
got he's in the full-time spot.
Yeah, so now you have him coming in. Teddy Bridgewater taking over for Drew Brees. And then Daniel Jones coming in after Eli getting removed.
You could see a lot of veteran free agents here pretty soon.
Oh, you could. And you could also, I believe, see a big swing in the market of money for quarterbacks.
Yeah, because right now quarterbacks are taking up sometimes almost a third of team salary cap. And you could definitely see, that's why you see some of these people like Melvin Gordon and Le'Veon Bell and Zeke wanting to hold out for more money, because the league realizes it is a valuable position, but it's such a temperamental position. At any time you can get injured and then you're gone. We can't give you all this money.
Yeah.
It's going to come to the same thing with quarterbacks, where they're making it to where quarterbacks are less likely to get injured with the rule changes. But if they do get hurt and you got this backup that comes in, and look at Nick Foles, really, I think is going to kick the whole thing off.
Yeah.
You got a backup comes in and wins the Super Bowl. I hope the same thing happens again this year. I hope the Rams make it there, make it to the playoffs. I would never say I hope to see a guy get injured, but watch
Jared Goff
get hurt and then the boat come in and lead them to a Super Bowl.
That would be pretty gnarly, especially since he just came from Jacksonville.
Yeah.
No, I think this is going to put a real strain on quarterbacks here in the next few years, just because, like you said, how they asked for so much money, and they were even talking about, like, the past couple years, how the new method might be win a Super Bowl with a quarterback under a rookie contract so you can pay the rest of the team.
Yeah, and then once that – I mean, you could see something where quarterbacks, they're going to either offer them substantially less money, because then with the money that you pay a quarterback – you could probably just buy the best offensive line in the league and get a mediocre quarterback.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And then with a good offensive line, that takes care of your running back. I mean, look at what they're talking about now in some of these places, like the Chargers. You got Austin Eckler doing so good with running, and they're basically like, it doesn't really matter who we put in the backfield. Our offensive line is so fucking good. Anybody can do it.
Yeah, and that hurts Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, and when you see this quarterback thing where all these backups are stepping up, doing just as good or sometimes even better than their starters in these situations, that's where you're going to start seeing teams say, fuck, maybe offensive linemen need to be the highest paid people in the NFL.
Yeah, maybe we're paying the wrong people.
You know, you get the best offensive linemen, and that takes care of your two probably
stars.
Most pivotal point makers on the team. You know, you have your wide receivers and stuff like that, but the play starts behind the line. So if the play falls apart before that can even happen, your wide receivers aren't getting passes either. So,
and your running back ain't running through.
Exactly. And so I could see, like you were mentioning, where there could be a big dip. Sell your stonks on quarterbacks. Start buying stonks on offensive line.
Absolutely. I think I'm going to go home and I'm going to start a Madden franchise, and I'm going to do a fantasy draft on it.
And
I'm going to get all the best linemen, and I'm going to get like a 60s rated quarterback, a decent running back, and some okay wide receivers. And I bet you I still fucking
bring
it home just because I never get hit.
Yeah.
All I need is my receivers to sometimes get open and my running back be able to get through the line. I think I can handle it.
So why don't you go through a few more of these games, Austin? Just kind of mention briefly where we're at with them. We'll touch on them, and then we'll just keep it moving.
Lamar Jackson had a slow start against the Chiefs, so the Ravens and Chiefs. The Chiefs ended up winning 33-28, but Lamar Jackson did give a second effort in the second half. They were getting blown out pretty bad by the Chiefs until near like the late third and fourth quarter.
Yeah, you got to give it to Mark Ingram too. The dude had 103 yards and 3 touchdowns. Good to see, you know, that's somebody where he was part of a tandem back last year. I definitely got to say, Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara were right there along with like Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman. Those two are doing better on their own than either of the Falcons running backs are doing. Coleman's out right now. He's injured. Devonta Freeman ain't doing shit. So kudos to those guys.
Thought it was weird that in that game, the Ravens didn't kick. They went for two.
Yeah.
Like every time.
Yeah. You got Justin Tucker, one of, if not the most reliable kicker in the league right now, and you're just not letting him do his job. Granted, it was more than a 3-point difference, but if the Chiefs win that game by 3 or less, Justin Tucker better be fucking pissed. Living.
Oh, yeah. And I do want to say, it was 33-28, so there was still about a little over 60 points total scored, but I was expecting this game to be like in the 40s for the teams. I was expecting a gun show.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't. I was a little disappointed with this game overall, but it was still, you know, a fine game in the end when you think about it. But with how much hype was between Lamar and Patrick Mahomes coming into this game, I thought it was just going to be a battle of slinging it.
Yeah.
And it turned out not to be that.
And I think the Ravens are still going to be able to have a good season going forward. And I know one of their teams, I believe it was the Ravens, put out a tweet on their social media that showed Mahomes and Jackson giving each other a high five, and it said, "See you in the AFC Conference Championship."
Yeah.
That's kind of big talk, ignoring, you know, just the greatest dynasty the league has ever seen.
We'll get into them here in a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm moving on to the next games. The Saints beat the Seahawks. Really all I have to say is, Saints should be optimistic.
Yeah,
Teddy Bridgewater, and they won by a decent margin.
Now, did he do amazing? No, he only had 177 yards and 2 touchdowns. But Russell Wilson, while tallying 406 yards and 2 touchdowns, still was only 32 of 50. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater had a higher quarterback rating, whatever the fuck that means.
Yeah, so it's, I guess, a number nobody really knows what it does.
It's just one of those things where you could say, hey, he had that.
Yeah, hey, he did better than this
Teddy
guy.
Teddy Bridgewater apparently had a better rating because he won, probably.
The Jags beat the Titans on Thursday. Gardner Minshew is now
probably a stud.
I think I'm going to start praying to him.
All right.
Because I think I want him to be like what leads my light in life.
He looks like a savior.
Yeah, he looks like somebody who could just, you know, when I get home from a hard day's work, he's going to throw a beer at me and he'll already have the game on when I get there. He just looks like
you're never going to come home and Gardner's never going to tell you he doesn't love you anymore.
Yeah, he's a dude who wakes up to like Metallica alarm clocks.
Yeah.
And that's what I want in my life.
And drinks Red Bull before bed.
Yes. He doesn't care about anything like that. And he doesn't watch his calories.
No,
like, that's another thing. Like, he's in the NFL and he works out, but he don't give a fuck about what he's eating.
And I'll tell you right now, he's appealing to the adult streamer.
Oh?
Because apparently, an adult streaming site has offered Gardner $1 million to do band workouts on live streams once a week in either just a jockstrap or completely naked. I'll tell you right now, I'll shave my beard off and whip on a fucking handlebar mustache, throw on some jorts, and do band workouts butt-ass naked on live streams all day, every day, if I'm going to make $1 million.
I just quit football.
Yeah, fuck
it. I'd be like, okay, I'll just do that every year.
Yeah.
Make $1 million dancing for 2 hours a day.
Easy.
Fuck.
Less he'd risk of injury.
Yeah, and he'd be,
hey,
like, was he
quarterback
be a
stonks are going down. This may be the move.
This might be the move. Start growing mustaches and start stripping on live streams. The Titans, I'm declaring them dead already this season.
Titans dead.
So that's all we're going to have on that. If they end up going on a run, we'll touch on it later. But just know, week 3, Austin calling the Titans dead. They're dead to me. The Giants end up winning after being behind 28-10 at half.
They were able to accomplish what the Falcons were not. And it's all thanks to a little dude by the name of Daniel Jones.
Now, let me tell you this. He came back from an 18-point deficit in his very first career start. How many do you think Eli Manning in his career would have won if he was down by 18? How many do you think he could win?
Now, I know the answer to this. So if you're listening, I want you to just pick a number in your head. 44 times. Eli Manning, this is the guy that beat Tom Brady twice in the Super Bowl. So you're going to get 5 seconds, okay? I want you to pick a number between 1 or 0 and 44. 44. And that's how many times Eli has done it in his career, okay? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Zero. Exactly. He's never done it. The very first game that Daniel Jones comes in, he fucking does it. Also, another crazy statistic, he's only the second player in since the Super Bowl era to have 2 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns, and 300 yards in their debut in the NFL as a starter. He's the second person since Super Bowl started.
So Daniel Jones is literally like the Mewtwo version of Eli Manning that they created in a lab at Duke University, put him through the program, and now that's what New York is to look forward to for the next few years. And he did it all without Saquon Barkley, who injured his ankle and is going to be out for an extended period of time.
So look out for him. Also, just so you guys, when you ever want to fact check me, the first guy who did it was Eric Hipple, who played for the Lions, and he did it on October 19th, 1981.
Stop fact checking and just hit the subscribe button.
Yeah, just do that.
Next game.
The Bills go 3-0, shocking the world.
Yeah, Bills Nation is... You thought the Area 51 raid was going to be hype? I'm nervous as we might have to call in the National
Guard. The Bills
are
blowing up. Quite literally.
Literally.
The fans are blowing themselves up.
You thought the Detroit Red Wing riot was an issue? What's going to happen when the Bills go to the postseason?
They're just going to start stabbing each other in the crowd.
Yeah, they're just, I mean, there's not going to be tables by stonks and tables.
Yeah, start, you know what we should do? We should buy, you know those white tables at Walmart? We should buy, go to every Walmart and buy every single one they have. Buy like a van. Load it with those tables, drive up to Buffalo, and start selling those tables for like $50 a pop.
You'd be rich.
You'd make so much money.
Yeah, the Bills, I mean, I kind of feel bad for the Bengals, though. I mean, Andy Dalton, almost 1 yard shy of 250 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. The Bengals are a team, which I actually threw Andy Dalton on my fantasy, because you fucking took the other guy, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And it's one of those guys, a guy like that is actually great for fantasy because he's always trying to catch up.
He's
and
Matthew
win the
Stafford.
Game. Yeah, exactly. He's Matthew Stafford just with no soul.
Matthew's...
With no soul.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, Josh Allen really turning that franchise around, it looks like. People are saying he's like the new Cam Newton, the white Cam Newton.
Yeah, because he's mobile, big. He's a big guy. He's got a cannon. He's willing to take some risks, which is what we saw from Cam Newton when he was doing good. So, yeah, I say look, don't be surprised if the Bills keep winning.
Especially when you got Father Time Frank Gore still
in the backfield
getting touchdowns.
Dude, don't give a fuck.
Who do we got next?
We're going to go with the Cowboys go riding the Dolphins to a 3-0 while the mammal sea creatures may be so deep they're drowning to 0-3.
Yeah, a lot of 3-0, 0-3s going at it this week.
But also, like, congratulations to the Cowboys. You can beat the worst teams in the NFL. You beat the Jets, the Giants with Eli Manning, and now the Dolphins. Literally all 0-3 teams.
Yeah.
Well, no, the Giants just won, so they're 1-2.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean,
I'm not impressed with them at all. I bet you as soon as they face a team that's 500, they're done. I think they're giving way too much hype to the Cowboys, and I think that the testosterone building in the balls of all the Cowboys fans that haven't got to jack off since the last time that they fucking won a Super Bowl, it's just coming up so tight in their dick holes right now that they can't hold it, and I just want all that to get punched back down, and I want them to have blue balls, and I want it to explode.
God, I haven't looked at the schedule or anything, but if Buffalo plays the Cowboys, that's just going to be like a fucking... table-breaking bukkake fest.
Yes. It's going to be a rough one, but I don't like the Cowboys, and I think they're cocky little fucking assholes, and I hope they lose. I hope they lose every game for the rest of the season.
All right, well, shout out to our Cowboys fans. What's the next game we got?
The Packers show the Broncos what a real QB is, while the Broncos still hope Flacco can gain the reins. Now, I say this not like that Rodgers had an amazing game, but he commanded his team. He got the team in the position it needed to under the circumstances that were needed to win the game.
And he only got hit one time.
Yes.
In the entire game. Once again, offensive linemen. Stonks are going up.
Well, Flacco, on the other hand, threw a couple picks, and really the only thing that looked good for the Broncos was Philip Lindsay, and the rest of the team was kind of clunky, in my opinion.
Somebody needs to wrangle them in, get them back on the track, but I'm not thinking that old Flacco is going to be the one to do it.
No, I don't think Flacco belongs in this flock of players.
Flacco, the Hacko.
Mm.
The Flacco, the bro, you need to fucking retire, bro.
What happens to Flacco when he plays football? He gets sackoed. Oh. What's the next game? The Vikings Raiders. Two respected warriors of their time, one in reality with the Vikings going ahead and raping and pillaging, and the other with the Raiders who were just good in football for a couple years. And then the Vikings take home the W. Delvin Cook.
Stud.
Just a monster. That's Adam pretty much Thielen, what you're going to say.
Stud.
Yep, a stud. Kirk Cousins, I still have no faith in you. You just have some good pieces around you.
Kirk Cousins needs to just let Dalvin Cook run this fucking rock, and then once in a while, hit Adam Thielen.
Or Diggs.
Yeah, or Diggs. Just get one of them in the play. You guys need to use Cook right now. Let him win you games.
Feed him the ball. And
if he is struggling, that's when you got Rudolph, you got Diggs, you got Thielen. You got some options, but the delivery. You don't have the delivery. Mm-hmm. Cousins isn't the guy that's going to win you these passing games. I give all the credit for some of these to the wide receivers able to make these plays. It's too risky. It's too risky.
I don't even think that Kirk Cousins is the one, like, when he does an audible, I think in the huddle, somebody else is telling him to do the audible.
Yeah, they're like, we're not doing this.
Yeah. Like, he comes in, he's like, let's do this play, guys. And Delvin Cook's we're not. Yeah. We're going to go the other way.
Here's how Cousins does a huddle. All right, guys. So what do y'all think?
You think he does
like,
it?
What? And he's like, I don't really know what I'm doing. You just tell me what you guys want to do. I want to make you happy.
You think he does like what kids used to do, and like has a stick in like his sock, and he pulls it out and like draws a play out on the field,
yeah,
right in front
like,
of everyone.
Let's do this one. And they're like,
dude, what we have headsets. Is anybody talking to you right now? And he's just like, well, I don't know. I'm nah.
And the entire time is just his coach screaming his head, you stupid motherfucker.
That would be hilarious. Could you imagine just playing football and he's like, you piece of shit, we wish we never had you. And he's like, all right, hut hut hike.
Yeah,
like, let's go into this play.
And that might be something. If I were the Vikings, seeing how the rest of the season plays out, that might be a team, you know, offer a little Gardner Minshew, one of these backups.
Ooh.
That are starting to step up, get
or
them a little trade value.
Could you see Teddy Bridgewater going back to Minnesota?
Ooh, we'll have to
after
see how
Drew
that
Brees
plays
comes
out.
Back. That'd be interesting. We're going to go ahead and ride right into the next one, which it's the Pats and Jets, and the Pats pretty much rode them like jet skis.
Yeah, Jets couldn't take off, let's say that.
Yeah, we can go ahead and go into that. The Pats, for one, let's just say this, haven't let up a defensive touchdown yet this season.
Yeah, they literally had rushing touchdown, passing touchdown, they had a rushing, two passing, field goal, another rushing touchdown. Then at the end of the third quarter and 6:23 into the fourth quarter, the Jets were able to pick up a fumble for a touchdown and an interception for a touchdown. Their offense can't do anything.
Given that the defense scored for the Jets twice, now here's where it gets a little fuckery, where I'm coming from. It shows that they have players, given the opportunity, they can make plays. They have a couple players who can score when they get the ball on defense, but they're not stopping teams from scoring.
Absolutely.
It almost seems like they're not playing as a unit and they're playing as individuals. Like, oh, I caught the ball, I better fucking score this or I'm getting cut and no one's going to pick me up because I'm from the Jets defense.
Or it's like, or I better score this because we know the offense isn't scoring.
Yeah. So what do you think it gives you more of a concern for the offense or defense side of the ball for the Jets that the offense can't
absolutely
score?
Absolutely the offense because, okay. I mean, look, you got Luke Falk, so you can't expect much out of him. But even Le'Veon, 35 yards.
Ooh, and he was trying to reach out for that payday. Good move by the Steelers, maybe letting him go.
Yeah, I mean, they're not paying you that money for 35 fucking yards, Le'Veon. Who do we got next?
We have the Lions win a 27-24 game over the Eagles, which I think you should be positive if you're the Eagles, given you just lost Echelon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson, and you only lost by three. Because yeah. The Lions are a good team.
But that's another game that you've literally just given away. Beans, they lost to the Falcons last week, and it was one of those games where I wouldn't really say the Falcons won. I'd just say they didn't lose.
Yeah.
And Eagles easily could be 3-0 right now, but and they sit at a measly 1-2. You know, that's another thing. Carson Wentz, is he going to be the quarterback that they really thought he was going to be after that injury? He's getting good numbers still. And in a game like today where he's missing quite a few of his targets that he would normally throw to. He hasn't shown me like this guy's going to lead this team to another playoff run.
Yeah, I don't think the Eagles are a playoff team, especially if they're going to have like their receivers missing time for a while. I don't see them winning many games. I see them being close, but they'll never actually win.
And shout out to the Lions. Haven't lost a game yet.
The Lions, 3-0.
No, 2-1. Got a tie.
Oh, tie. So they're 2-0-1.
2-0-1. Haven't lost a game, though.
Undefeated Lions.
Undefeated Lions. Who do we got next?
We got the Steelers and the 49ers.
The old Steelers.
And really the first backup to look like a backup is Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, he was...
not guiding his team and losing to the 49ers. Basic QB performance, and he will probably not be invited to the Pro Bowl for any of the QB games.
Poor Rudolph. But the 49ers now also 3-0 while the Steelers fall to 0-3. 49ers are looking pretty good.
No, I'm giving it to
old Jimmy G.
Jimmy G, fucking porn stars and throwing footballs. After getting hurt and coming back this year, maybe he's got more. I think all offseason when he was hurt last year, all he did is find new porn stars to fuck.
And based on those results, you can't argue with him. If I were his coach, be like, here's your, when they're handing out, it's like, all right, this is what you guys need to do in the offseason. Be ready for next year. Jimmy G's should just be a bag of cocaine and unlimited passes to every strip joint in San Francisco.
Do you think he gets paid in like browser subscriptions?
Probably.
That's exactly what I think.
Oh, he probably gets a free one because he just bangs all their employees.
Oh, true. The Steelers should be panicking.
Yes. They're big panic.
They're big panic mode. The Steelers are a mess. And it's not going to get fixed in a
however,
season.
However, do you blame Big Ben? He wouldn't teach the kid anything.
Oh, I think they need to let Big Ben go. I think he needed to be gone last year.
Now, tell me this, hypothetical. Big Ben to the Vikings. Big Ben with Adam Thielen, Diggs, and a good running back behind him. It would almost look similar. Now, I'm not saying either of these guys are on Antonio Brown's level.
But it'd almost be like a duo like Antonio Brown's and Juju Smith-Schuster.
You'd have Thielen, Diggs, a good running back, Big Ben, and an offensive line.
Yeah, I could see it, but what do you think that the Vikings would have to give to get Ben? Like picks? You think they'll just be like, here's our first and second round pick?
Cause I mean, everybody else seems to just be throwing around picks right now for top rated. Look at what all Big Ben has to do is act a little controversial. Look what they accepted for Antonio Brown.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, fuck.
Nope, that's true. And Mike Tomlin, I think he's gone.
Yeah.
I think he's going
to
be...
they just need to blow...
yeah, I think they're going to redo everything. They already got rid of their two biggest pieces with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. I think you're going to lose Ben Roethlisberger. I could see them trading Juju Smith-Schuster.
Just to get a fresh start.
Yeah, fresh start. And I could see them firing Mike Tomlin. And whoever comes in next, you know who would be a perfect fit? It would be funny.
Who's that?
Who was the guy who was coaching the Browns? that went over to the Bengals.
Hugh Jackson,
come in, because it'd be the same situation. He's taking over a complete dog shit team, and they're going to be like, okay, we're going to give you like 4 years.
I'm pretty sure the city of Pittsburgh would burn the stadium down if they brought in Hugh Jackson as the head coach.
That would be the best thing ever, and we need it. That's what we need to be watching.
Speaking of the Browns, though, did not perform well against the 3-0 Rams.
Falling still short. Along. And that was a winnable game for them.
It was. It was a game that, when you're watching it, they mentioned it on Pardon My Take. I feel like watching the Browns play calling is like watching a person do coach pick my play on Madden on the rookie level. There's like four or five plays that he just, try to do these every time. He's not like calling plays based on the situation. He's just like, yeah, I know my guys can do that. It's like,
we've ran this one in practice the most.
Do that one 27 times.
Yeah,
he's got to work eventually.
And that was a game for them to win because the Rams didn't play that well.
No,
that's
not
the
really.
Problem. If the Rams
would have played
so
like
hot.
That against some of these other teams, that would have been a loss.
Yeah, the Rams would have been done if they played that poorly against other teams other than the Browns. And this is the other way that the Browns could have went from what everybody hyped up to be. Everybody said they're going to be amazing with Odell and Landry and Njoku and Baker and Chubb. And, well, now you have so many people, they're not getting anything done. They're just, I think they're all still a little self-centered. Even though they like to be like, act like buddy-buddy, I still think they're all kind of falling apart at the seams. They're holding it together for a show. All
right. Any other games that we need to touch on?
Yes, we need to hit with the Chargers, where Keenan Allen shined too bright and the Chargers blew a circuit and allowed the Texans to manually shift into gear and roll over the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, can't blame Keenan Allen on that one. The dude had 183 yards and fucking two touchdowns. 13 for 17. God damn.
Yeah, that's really the only thing I wanted to hit on that, and that the Texans fucking won again, and that's not good for me since they're in my Colts division.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson, 351 yards and three touchdowns. Poor Phillip Rivers, man. The dude's
just sucks to see him. I'd like Phillip Rivers to go to Minnesota.
There you go.
If they traded stuff for him.
You think you'd be like, fuck it, let's try to win a title.
I think
you'd
be like, let's get out of here. I want to go somewhere where I could win.
Yeah, why not?
Put him on the Colts.
There you go.
I like Jacoby Brissett, but I'd love to see Phillip Rivers in their first season.
That'd be cool.
I'd be down for it for a season.
He should just be a journeyman, be like, every year I'll go to whatever team thinks maybe I can do it.
Yeah, that would be sick.
All right, what do you think about tonight's game? We got the Bears versus the Redskins.
I think the Bears pull this one out.
You think the Redskins, the poor old Redskins, are going to fall to 0-3?
I do, and this is going to be a big game for those boys at Part of My Take with Big Cats Bears and PMT's Washington R-words, as he calls them.
Yeah, that'll be exciting to hear what they have to say come Wednesday. I think the Bears can do it, although Trubisky,
terrible quarterback.
He's in like the same situation that Cousins is in.
Yeah.
It's like, we have a defense, but we're nervous to even let the offense do anything at this point.
Yeah, their offense is kind of piss poor.
So, that's all we got. Not much really to talk about NHL-wise, because it's still just the preseason. No one gives a fuck about preseason.
Perron had a good game.
Perron did have a good game a while back. Scored the goal to take him into overtime, and scored the goal in overtime. So,
to win it. Boom. There we go. That's clutchness. That's what you like to see in preseason.
And then, in the first game that Nicole got to go to, that I didn't, because we were in Indy, the Blues were able to pull it off 5-3 against the Blue Jackets. So, 3-1 preseason. Not too bad.
There we go.
It's pretty nice because they mixed it up. Five different people scored goals.
That's impressive.
Sharing the rock. Team unity. That's what you need. That's how you go back to back right there.
We have so many people and so many weapons. We're going to repeat. This might turn into just a hockey podcast. I'm going to have to learn a lot of new names.
Yeah, we're just going to look into it. We'll touch on it because, I mean, as Stanley Cup champs, we got to represent.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't just keep this quiet.
Boys, we can't just sit here. This is kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal. So, you know what else would be a pretty big deal?
What's that?
If I were president.
Oh.
You want to jump into some segments?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's do it.
If I was president, I'd get elected on Friday.
assassinated on Saturday, buried on Sunday. If I was president, if I was president.
All right, if I were president of these United States of America, I'd probably not start the second Civil War and try to take all the AR-15s like Beto O'Rourke wants to do.
Now, I understand. Like,
you can Beto your fucking ass that they're going to kill your bitch ass if you try to take everybody's guns.
Oh, absolutely. I do see where, like, where gun control comes from. Like, I do see that, obviously, people are shooting up schools with guns. It's not like they're using something else. But I am a pro-gun person. I own an assault rifle. I own multiple different types of guns. But I did find it a little silly how easily I could acquire it.
Yeah, I mean, I bought mine out of the back of a truck at a mall.
I went into a store, bought it and 500 rounds of ammo, and walked out of the door. Like, I understand, and it took maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah, and so, that's the thing. People, the way they word things and the way they go about all this, they do it so fucking backwards.
Yeah.
Like, if they would endorse the NRA, I would think. Not that I'm like, oh, NRA is the fucking shit.
Yeah.
But if they would go to gun owners and the people who do want to own these guns and the people who do and advocate and all that, and say, we understand you have the right and you should have the right, and we're not trying to take that away. Can we work together to maybe come up with some ideas to help prevent this? And at the end of the day, you can't predict batshit crazy people.
Yeah.
You're never going
to
do it.
If somebody wants to do something, they're going to find a way to do it.
I can take my Jeep and drive it through a fucking playground and
right
kill
now.
Just as many
kids. You could
kids.
Literally back out of the driveway and drive into your neighbor's house.
Yeah.
There's no way of predicting it.
Yeah. I could fucking, at 4th of July, buy a bunch of sparklers, make a sparkle bomb, and throw it into somebody's fucking living room. I mean, people will always be able to do fucked up shit. But if some of these candidates would get with the people who care about that and don't want to see those privileges infringed and work with them, it'd be better than this guy that literally goes on national TV. He's like, I will take your guns.
Because he won't.
He won't.
There will.
Do you want a second Civil War? Because that's how you get a second Civil War.
That's how it starts. That's how. Because as soon as we have police gunning down legal gun owners or legal gun owners gunning down police,
then it will just create a schism and it will become an all-out war.
Yeah, it'll just be chaos.
And then that's when all these other countries that already don't like us will be, hey, they're kicking the shit out of themselves. Let's go over and just jump into the fray while they're confused and
don't
know
what
they're doing.
Yeah, that's when we're at our weakest point, somebody will attack us.
Yeah, it's no question.
And that's when you would do it. Well, if I were president, I wouldn't have been friends with Jeff Epstein and I wouldn't fuck babies.
Wow.
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 Wow. On a note like that, let's get right into the wow stories of the week. Austin, what's the first story that you got this week?
Florida's fucked up.
Yeah. Florida man. Beginning of every great story.
Not only is it fucked up, but what's one of your favorite things to do with a woman, Gavin?
That would probably be to have sexual intercourse with them.
Yeah, that's a pretty fun thing. So, a Florida man and woman were found drunk, slurring words, and just a mess. They were arrested by a police officer and put into the back of his cop car. But they would not let this ruin their mood, as the man began to undress while being cuffed and undressing the woman. The police officer, realizing what had happened, stops his car to go into the back, opens the back. The man is completely naked with his pants off and shirt all the way back, like pulled up over to where it's like around his cuffs and his hands. And the woman had her pants off and her boobs completely exposed. When the police officer drugged the man out of the car, the police officer was then shoved to the ground and the man got away. The naked man ran and was later found at a Cold Stone Creamery having an ice cream.
All right. I mean, after an act like that, what else would hit the spot?
Now, just, have you ever had car sex?
Yeah.
Have you ever done it in, like, the backseat of a, like, isn't that a pretty small fucking area?
I've never been in the back of a police car to know, and no, I haven't had sex in the back of one.
That would be so difficult. Like, and in handcuffs. Like, I get it where she's like, I'm into this, but the dude, that had to be difficult getting your pants off.
I mean, with handcuffs it's on. Kind of impressive.
Oof.
Well, speaking of impressive, a college football fan who made a social media plea for beer money this past weekend apparently turned out to be a humorous way of requesting for a fundraising effort. This dude had a sign on national TV that said Bush Light needs, you know, he needs money for beer. And he had like this number or something or a website. And it turned out to be for a children's hospital. And it raised over $1 million in donations.
That was on College Game Day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually saw the sign. I didn't see the story, though.
Yeah, apparently that sign, whatever he had written on there, linked people to this place to donate money. But that guy could have just made $1 million with a sign like that.
I think I'm going to go do that.
Yeah, like we should try to do this. Gonna
call off the rest of the week, find plane tickets.
But this guy was actually a good guy because it linked him to a hospital children's hospital charity, which raised over $1 million. So all those people that thought they were helping that guy out with beer money, you're actually some pretty good people. Not only did he didn't help him get beer money, but he helped a lot of fucking dying kids. And that's a lot better. He said they reached $1 million in contributions. He said he tweeted on Sunday along with, "Let's fucking go. We're not done yet." So this dude's ready to save some fucking kids.
This dude is wild.
Yeah. Shout out to that guy. But that was a good move.
It was a good deed, and it makes you think if anyone will try it again, or if, like, now that it's become a story, nobody will ever do it again.
Yeah, and you know what else happens to stories that no one ever talks about again?
What's that?
They become conspiracy theories.
Because this is such a strange world and so many things happen that people don't want to talk about, we're here to bring them to you. Gavin, what do you got for us?
Area 51 raid.
Oh?
Turned out to just be a bunch of people standing around, but I think the guy that started it was a time-traveling alien.
Okay, but he wasn't there.
Exactly. He created the raid to free his kind. And I know what you're thinking. Of course you'd say that, but it doesn't actually have any backup evidence.
What do you mean by that?
Well, that's what people are thinking, you know. What do you have to back up to say that this guy was an alien? Well, just wait. First piece of evidence, the date of the raid. The raid was supposed to be September 20th. There's nothing important about that date, but there is another big event that happened. It was the climate change strike. He created the raid on that day that some of the guards might be at that big strike doing, like, security and stuff like that, which would have weakened Area 51's defenses. The second piece of evidence is that the target audience. He targeted memers to raid Area 51, a group of people that no one would have ever taken seriously. Surely the regular memers wouldn't want to risk their lives to enter the base, but there are, like, hardcore memers, like 4chan people that willing to do anything. The edgy memers, the memers that would just literally do anything to get more memes out there, and the anime memers, hence the Naruto running and stuff like that. There's also just the depressed millennials that would have no problem just running in and getting a quick, easy death.
Absolutely. And you think he didn't show up because he knew, like, he was a time traveling alien? He's like, well, they could get fucked up, so I'm just not going to go.
Let's see. The third piece of evidence is that the creator left the raid only days before it happened. He left the raid in such short notice, which may have broken the hearts of the raiders, but it only strengthened their need to raid because success would have been a big fuck you to him. He may have also left the raid to go back to Area 51 to prepare the interior for the raid from the inside.
Oh, so have we heard anything from this guy since the raid?
No, disappeared. Maybe because they didn't free him. Maybe originally we raided Area 51, freed all the aliens, but maybe one of his buddies died on the way out. So he traveled back in time to do it again, only this time he would get his buddy out, only this time we didn't raid it, and then he died or disappeared because he never got released.
Or they say that he left days earlier. What if they just captured him? And now he's stuck in there too. He didn't leave.
He became what he created to free.
Ugh. That's fucking rough for that guy. That's a bad day.
Yeah, bad day for him. What do you got?
Well, as technology is advancing and advancing, self-driving cars are becoming more prevalent. I believe that this is all going to end up being a big marketing scheme.
Okay.
So, we all know billboards.
Yep.
There's almost no need for them anymore. Like, nobody really looks at billboards anymore because we're focused on the road. Well, with the self-driving cars, you're going to be able to look around and do whatever you want, and billboards are going to become huge proponents again because people don't have to look at the road.
Yeah, they can just look around at everything they're doing. So, I believe
people, like billboards and stuff, will pay car companies that have self-driving cars to make sure those cars drive on the routes that their billboards are a part of.
Ooh.
For the destinations that people choose. So, like, if I wanted to go to St. Louis, I could either take 40, which would be my faster way, but if my car company is in cahoots with people who have billboards on 70, my car would make me take the 70 route.
Because they want you to see.
Because they want me to see those advertisements. If I want to do the self-driving, I have to go that way. But if I want to drive the car, then I can choose where I go.
That's a good idea. It's almost like the one that the oil companies were invested in, the GPS apps, and always showed you like the second fastest route instead of the actual fastest route to get you to use more gas.
Yeah.
Could be another thing that happens.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a smart idea. Make sure that they're getting their product used more so that they can sell out more.
So self-driving cars are just a way for them to get you to buy more shit.
Yeah, they just don't want you to do things yourself.
Yeah, they were like, the less time they spend driving, the more time they can spend spending money.
Yeah.
So imagine all the shit you would buy on Amazon if you just never had to drive.
Yeah, if you're just scrolling, like driving to work every morning, I'd just scroll on my phone.
Buy shit all the time.
And buy shit on my way to work.
You'd spend all the money you'd make that day.
Yeah, there'd be no reason to have a job.
So self-driving cars are going to lead to a lot of bankruptcies.
Absolutely.
All right, well, let's go ahead and jump into our final segment, which is shower thoughts.
Hmm. Shower thoughts!
All right, we got some shower thoughts for you guys. Always get these most of the time. We come up with some on our own, but a lot of them we get from Reddit. So if you want to look at some of those, if you find one that's good, you can send to us on Twitter or Facebook or whatever the fuck, and we might put it on the show. First one I got is saying your home is powered by a wireless nuclear fusion reactor that is 93 million miles away sounds way cooler than just saying I have solar panels on my roof.
Yes, but I also think saying solar panels is like a flex.
Yeah, but what if somebody's like, oh, yeah, we just got solar panels on our roof? Be like, that's cool. I have a wireless nuclear fusion reactor that's 93 million miles away that handles mine. And really, you said you just got the same thing.
Yeah, I guess that.
It does sound a lot better.
It's just
because
it's way bigger of a word.
And nuclear fusion reactor.
Yeah, like, that sounds pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool. My power source could literally make yours blow the fuck up, even though it's the same thing. Yours is running off the same thing.
Ugh, that's dumb. All right, well, the next decision you make will lead to a chain of events that no matter what will lead to your death. So no matter what you do, today,
even if I would have went back and muted my PC to where you wouldn't have heard that, you're still going to die.
Yeah, and we're still going to die.
But you heard it, so that means you're going to die.
Yeah. So, even if you didn't hear it,
so whatever you're doing right now, you have a choice. You could pause this podcast.
You could listen through it.
Either way, it's going to set off a chain of reactions.
That inevitably
will end in you dying.
Absolutely.
So have a great fucking day.
Yeah, have a good day, guys.
All right. Well, somebody that would have had a really good day would be the guy that would have thought to use the word gonorrhea before it got used for an STD, because gonorrhea could have been a really good diarrhea medication.
Yeah, I would have used that because we all know I have the stomach issues and I wish I had gonorrhea.
Diarrhea? Use gonorrhea. It'll be gone within 30 minutes.
I really wish I had gonorrhea in my life.
Thanks, Ma. That gonorrhea really made me feel better.
Now it's like anti-diuretic. That's what it's called.
It could just been a gonorrhetic.
Yeah, Boom. Even better.
Done.
Well, pretty much in all reality, any thought you have in the shower is a shower thought.
True.
If you just think, man, I'm really wet right now.
Or if you're like, I need to pay my bills. That's a shower thought.
That's a shower thought. So
one week we might just do a bunch of thoughts that are like, my feet kind of itch.
Oh no, I just breathed in a little water.
Oh fuck, I forgot to set a towel out. Now I gotta walk across the floor and get it all wet.
Oh, I'm out of conditioner.
Oh shit. I forgot shit doesn't go down the drain.
Rough.
All right. Well, here's one to really twist your brain.
Okay.
12 a.m. comes before 11 a.m.
Because the clock has to go all the way around.
All through the 12 o'clock hour. So at midnight, it's 12 a.m. So then you go to 12:59, then it's 1 a.m. Then it goes to 11 a.m., but 11 a.m. is actually 11 hours after 12 a.m.
Yeah, because then it goes to 12 p.m.
I think like midnight should be 1 a.m. And then it goes all the way through 11 and then through 12 and then 12:59. Instead of becoming 13, it becomes 1 again.
That's too much for me to think about. That's a lot of...
You should just start with 1. Why do we start with 12? That makes no sense.
I thought it was because it was like something to do with the 24 hours in the day and 12 being half of it, so it can split into two time zones.
You would just start at 1 both times. Just switch.
But you would only have 1:12 on the clock, wouldn't you?
No, you would still have, instead of 1 a.m. would be midnight.
Yes.
And then 1 p.m. would be noon.
Okay.
That's the only difference. Just instead so of saying 12 o'clock noon, time. You would say 1 o'clock noon or 1 o'clock midnight.
Oh, okay.
1 would be the start of the morning and the start of the evening. Instead, we start it with 12 and then go through 11 and jump to 1 on the other end. Like, we'll start at 12 a.m.
Yeah.
And then it'll go all the way to 11:59 p.m. and then become 12 or 11 a.m. then become 12 p.m.
Oh, yeah. And then it becomes 1 p.m., 2 p.m., 3 p.m.
So we need to fix that. Millennials, your biggest objective right now is to bitch about how the clock works.
Yeah, because that's fucking stupid now that you bring that up.
Yeah. People say millennials are stupid, but
you can't even do time
right. Who made 12 come before 11?
Stupid fuck.
Fucking ancient fucking Romans and Aztec idiots.
What a stupid fucking loser.
What do you got?
Do not touch must be terrifying to read in Braille.
Yeah, kind of like a no turning back. Well, already fucked that up.
Yep, you're already in too deep. Time to find out what the rest of this is.
I got a hypothetical one.
Okay.
Do you ever think people will name their kids odd things to ensure they get usernames for websites or spell their names in leet text like Bobby spelled B0BBY or Luke spelled 1UK3? Because eventually it's going to be really hard to get a username. That's why I think eventually like usernames will be a side like credit card numbers. Like this is your username because millions of people have taken up any logical, normal fucking username.
So I think that won't happen. I think people will still get normal names, but I think it'll become standard for people to be born with a username with them. Like their name will be Luke, but their username will be Luke 012347.
Yeah, it's just
like he goes by Luke.
Like on your birth certificate, you will also have a username.
Yes, you will also have a username.
That's the username you have to use everywhere you go.
Yeah. And if you want it changed, you have to, you know...
custom license plate.
Yeah.
Or, I'm surprised it didn't happen more with this. Like, there's a website for usernames that get sold. Because when the internet first took off, people would buy up website addresses. Like, Walmart.com.
Yeah, isn't that like what GoDaddy did? GoDaddy.com?
They're just a hosting site where you can go there and get one. But individuals would go to like GoDaddy and register HowardStern.com. And Howard Stern would have to pay you however much you wanted. Kind of like if a football player comes to a team and he buys his number from somebody, that's what they would do. And I'm surprised there's not websites where it just has lists of usernames that people are selling, where it's like, I have the Twitter handle at KFC Fried Chicken, and I'll sell it for this much money.
Yeah, just have their prices listed out, ready to go. Yeah, I'm surprised that doesn't happen more frequently either. I guess they just wait to be contacted. I'm just going to start
buying fucking... Well, sometimes, like, say, Twitter has before, like, when Ninja blew up, they got him the real Ninja handle. They were like, there's somebody out there that has the handle Ninja that has, like, 8 followers and doesn't do anything. So, sorry, bud, you got to change your handle. We're giving it to the guy with millions of followers bringing people to our website.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's probably in the terms and agreement that says they can make you change your handle.
Yeah.
So... But yeah, I think in the future, you're going to be assigned usernames because all those dumb millennials are going to be smart enough to use up all the fucking cool ones.
Yeah, us dumb fucking millennials.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess there's only one thing left to do.
There is.
Let's drink some beer.
I'm not made for paving long roads. I ain't cut out to climb highline poles, but I'm pretty good at drinking beer.
As always, our beer reviews are brought to you by Barrel's Tap House and Grill in O'Fallon, Missouri, at the corner of Highway K and Highway N in O'Fallon, Missouri, located right behind AutoZone. Amazing food, awesome people, most of the time delicious beer.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. But let us tell you about this beer we got right here.
So if you listened to our last week's episode, this is the one that we accidentally froze, called Ripe and Ready. By Sunquist Brewing, and we did one of theirs the week before as well.
And it wasn't that bad.
This was fucking awful. This Ripe and Ready, this is fucking trash.
The only thing this beer's ripe and ready for is exactly that, the trash can.
Yeah, it is. It says it's a juicy, hazy IPO.
It looks like they're trying to make it like pineapple-y and tropical.
It doesn't taste like that at all.
It might be like... Tastes like it maybe came out of a Hawaiian fucking garbage disposal.
This is what Hawaiian sweat tastes like when they run around on the beach all day.
Yeah, it's pretty much terrible. Yeah, pretty awful.
This is probably the worst one I've had since we started doing it.
Yeah, this one's for me is going to get a solid 1.2. Could I drink this if I was stranded on a desert island and would die if I had nothing else? Probably I could choke it down. But other than that, can't stop drinking this beer soon enough.
Yeah, no, this is terrible. I've only had about 4 drinks of it, and I'm making faces that I don't like. I'm going to go ahead and give this a... I'm going to give this a 0.6. This is the worst beer I've ever had.
All right. Well, if you do go to Barrels, don't get this beer.
Well, I do know that this one... they did give to us, but they stopped getting it. Okay. So it probably has bad reviews, and they maybe were seeing and what we thought. And we're
continuing the trend, because if you're ever out and you want to try yourself a new tasty beer, do not.
Get Ripe and Ready by Sunquist Brewing.
Or you will be ripe and ready to blow your fucking brains out.
Yeet.
Inside the pocket of a clown. It's a sad place to hang around. Just watching smiles turn into frowns.